Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
It's Straight Out of Cobham, the Chelsea FC podcast from The Athletic, back for another week. On today's pod, City slicker as Chelsea choked by Pep's possession, Tuchel takes Turin, we look ahead to match day two in the Champions League, and there are big wins for the women's and academy sides. Available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic, this is Straight Out of Cobham. Well, it had to happen sooner or later, didn't it? Chelsea beaten for the first time this season on Saturday. We'll look back on the game at Stamford Bridge shortly. First, though, let me introduce my panel, and with the pod facing significant selection issues, it's just a two-man booth today. Lucky for me, Sam Parkin can't get enough podcasting. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Matt. Delighted to be here. Still standing.
Yeah, just me and you. We better get into this Manchester City defeat then.
Now Cancelo gets it onto his left foot, hits it low. It's blocked by Jesus, who's trying to turn and squeeze the shot in, and he scores! Gabriel Jesus for Manchester City, whose dominance pays off at the start of the second half. It's Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1.
The performance was not complex enough. It was simply overall not on our very best level, and you need very best level to push a game like this to your side.
Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1, then no fourth successive victory over the citizens for the Blues. But be honest, listener, if you're going to choose to lose one of the last four meetings between the sides, it may very well have been this one. That said, Sam, the nature of the defeat was pretty concerning. Chelsea didn't manage a single shot on target and were comfortably outplayed by their opponents, who, lest we forget, are quite good.
Yeah, they were exceptional. And you know, I think we spoke on Thursday about Pep Guardiola coming up with a game plan, as he's done previously, to great success. And yeah, I thought they were exceptional, mainly, you know, without the ball, in completely stopping Chelsea. Yes, there were opportunities once they got a goal to the good, but it was just the intensity without which so impressed, and the cleverness of the press as well. You know, going collectively, Phil Foden being the catalyst for a lot of it, his body shape almost just being the trigger for the other players to join in. I thought it was a really intelligent way of stopping Chelsea getting any foothold in the game, any confidence. And I thought that was the biggest issue. I spoke of the FA Cup semi-final when, you know, I thought Chelsea controlled the ball in such a confident manner against a top Manchester City team on that occasion, and it was just chalk and cheese at the weekend. They didn't seem to have the composure, didn't seem to have the quality with the football, and it didn't really change probably until Kai Havertz came on and impacted the game late on. But by then, the game was almost done.
Do you think there'll be any lasting ramifications from this defeat? I mean, either psychologically or literally. We mentioned that Chelsea could have been 6 points ahead of City. Instead, they're behind them on goal difference. And maybe kind of, I don't know, not the sign that Tuchel had over Guardiola has been ended now, but the fact that City were so much better, is that going to play into Chelsea's psyche a little bit?
I think for the next meeting, certainly. And it would be fascinating to see what both managers do on that occasion. I think Thomas Tuchel was very honest post-match in that, you know, taking a lion's share of the blame as well for the defeat. You know, you could argue that maybe that change, the Kai Havertz change, could have come prior to the opening goal, considering Manchester City's dominance. But I don't think, you know, moving forward towards the Champions League game and the games that follow in the Premier League, there's any reason for Chelsea to feel too damn beat. It's one result. It can be quickly rectified with a positive result. And it's likely we won't see that three-man midfield again in the near future, considering, you know, how Manchester City counteracted that. Yes, it worked brilliantly against Tottenham, but at the weekend, it was clear that there wasn't that link between the midfield and the attack. I mean, that fundamentally was what let Chelsea down, I felt, because I've spoken about Mason Mount, for one, being such an intelligent footballer, the way that he can muck in with those midfield players, but also provide an out ball, drive the team up the pitch. And it just meant at the weekend that Lukaku and Werner were so isolated. Yes, they've both been in reasonably good form, or certainly Lukaku's been at the top of his game, but just throwing them together for a game this magnitude, a new partnership in a new system, they had to be on it and win their individual duels. And unfortunately, they didn't. And I felt, you know, sometimes if your centre forwards are right at the top of their game, getting hold of the ball, linking with each other, a threat against the opponent's goals, you can maybe get away with it. But I just felt individually Manchester City, yes, collectively brilliant with and without the ball, but the duels as well, I thought that's what really stood out to me. Diaz, for example, centre half, Jesus up against Alonso, Rodri, the best I've probably seen him, certainly in a fixture against Chelsea. So that's where Chelsea fell short as well in those one-on-one battles.
Let's get to some Twitter questions then. We touched on a few of these themes already. Oos asks, did Tuchel do a Pep and overthink it this time? Man City's pressing was intense. Wonder if it wasn't for the three CMs, we could have utilised Havertz to help escape. Overthinking's maybe a little bit of a stretch, Sam. I see why the comparison's made because of what happened with Guardiola in the Champions League final. But the three central midfielders thing had worked so well against Tottenham that you can see why he went for it again.
Yeah, I completely concur. And then the other element to it was the injury to Mount, which probably compounded one or two issues and probably just made him go for the three midfield. I felt if Mount was fit, he probably would have started Mason Mount and we could be, you know, talking about a different performance and a different outcome. But that probably swayed him, I would say. And I mean, the biggest problem was probably, yes, they had difficulties with the ball when you consider the setup. But I think without the ball, with the two-man strike force that Chelsea had, when they kind of went to try and win the ball off Manchester City, there was such a gap between the midfield and the attack. It didn't allow Chelsea to go and press and win the ball successfully, as Manchester City did wonderfully well to Chelsea. So I felt it had an effect, you know, certainly with the ball, in that they couldn't connect with the front two, but also there was a huge gap which allowed Rodri, as I've already said, to kind of dictate proceedings from his deep midfield role.
Didi says, Lukaku is undoubtedly a world-class striker. Are we playing to his strengths? There may be a danger that you set up the team all around one man and that can be counterproductive as well. Or is there a case to say, like Didi is alluding to here, that Chelsea need to try and get him involved in the game a little bit more?
Yeah, I think he's the type of centre-forward who I think all centre-forwards want to have touches and be involved in the build-up. But I mean, he's been so available for passes into him in the previous games this season. Obviously at Arsenal, it was a fantastic start for him, and that ball into him just seemed to be on forever in that fixture. Again, I think the midfield players of City cut off that ball, and when Chelsea had to go direct, they had the physicality, they had the pace in their ranks to match up against Lukaku, and he did strike quite a frustrated figure. But I think credit the opposition. He's not going to come up against that each week. Would he be happier with the two link players behind him? Probably. But I think there's an argument to say that, you know, him and Werner will get better the more that they play together. And you know, I spoke previously on this podcast that there's nothing better as a striker than when you're playing in tandem with someone you've got a good understanding with. So it'll be horses for courses as the season progresses. But yeah, he was a frustrated figure at the weekend, and certainly he was a victim of a system, I suppose, going badly wrong.
Andrew, Gav and Moore have been in touch to reignite the Alonso v Chilwell debate. Alonso was pretty poor on Saturday, I thought. Does that open the door for Chilwell, it's kind of felt like it's a matter of when, not if, he gets back in ahead of Alonso. But he didn't particularly stand out against Villa in the Cup last week.
No, I can't disagree with that. I thought he was rusty. Be better for the minutes, I'm sure. Although that said, he obviously missed in the shootout as well. So I'm not sure how he's doing confidence-wise, considering missing that penalty. But I thought that was probably as poor as Alonso's been. He seemed to be coming infield a lot. Chelsea didn't have that width that him and James or Azpilicueta normally provide. So it was a testing afternoon for him, considering how good Jesus was on the other side of the coin. So this could be the opportunity, especially with the fixtures mounting up and the Juventus game on the horizon. Maybe it's Ben Chilwell's opportunity to certainly come in for one of the two next fixtures.
Right, before we move on from the City game, I just wonder, are we in danger, and by we, I mean the Chelsea media in general rather than me and you, of overblowing this a bit? You know, it's only one game, isn't it? And it was against a really excellent team playing at the peak of their powers.
Yeah, definitely. Although there's been, listen, I wouldn't say the results have papered over the cracks, because that's too over the top. I think, you know, there's been some poor starts to the games. Certainly the Zenit game took a while to get going. Obviously at Spurs, it took a while to work out how to counteract what they did. The Villa performances weren't brilliant until maybe, you know, those switches in the second half. So it's not been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, this is played with ridiculous intensity. So now I think enormous credit has to go to the opposition at the weekend, rather than becoming too downbeat in what has been, you know, a relatively, well, a very good start to the season under obviously a very talented manager. So we have to, I think we have to allow him this one on this occasion.
Yeah, well said. Right, not long for Chelsea to stew on that defeat. The Blues are heading to Italy this week to take on Juventus. We'll look ahead to that after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Match day 2 in Group H then sees Chelsea return to the J Stadium, not a ground that holds happy memories for the Blues. You'll remember, listener, that Chelsea were comprehensively beaten there in 2012.
Well, at the moment, I think, you know, with the team, we're all in it together, and I'm responsible, obviously, for the results. And at the moment, I am here, and I think I will be for the future. So it's probably not a question you should ask me, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to keep working.
The manager, Roberto Di Matteo, was sacked as a result just months after lifting the trophy with the big ears. But that's not going to happen this time. Both teams opened their Group H campaigns with wins. Chelsea 1-0 home to Zenit. Juve 3-0 away to Malmo. Chelsea will be hoping to have the likes of Reece James, Mason Mount and Christian Pulisic available. We're recording this before Thomas Tuchel's press conference. He'll be able to tell us more. Here's a question from Ollie, though, Sam, that I'll put to you. He asks, does Ruben start in Turin? Loftus-Cheek, pretty impressive off the bench against Manchester City. We thought he'd be a bit part player, but maybe there's a chance for him to be a bit more than that?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he couldn't have done any better in that Aston Villa game. We know there's fierce competition in that area of the pitch now, but I think the manager showed his confidence in putting Ruben on at the weekend. And yeah, I think you know, against a Juve side which is struggling, it shouldn't hold any fear for Chelsea and shouldn't hold any fear for the manager to make one or two maybe additional changes. You know, a Juventus team which is absolutely flying in the latter stages of a European competition, of course, you're going to be a little bit more reluctant. But I think there's an opportunity here to make changes. And Ruben Loftus-Cheek would be right up there in terms of players that you can trust now to go in. And he needs more minutes in that position. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. And no, I'm really pleased that he looks to have a part to play this season, because it's been a long time coming. We've all hoped that he was going to turn his fortunes around. And this could be the moment. So another good performance in the Champions League, he'd be, you know, right in the manager's thoughts moving forward.
Sam mentioned Juve struggling a bit. They had a poor start to the season, didn't win any of their opening three games, but that victory against Malmo on match day one seems to have kicked them into gear. They drew with AC Milan, then they've won the last two, 3-2 latterly against Sampdoria on Sunday. No Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously. Morata and Dybala injured. Still plenty of quality, though. Federico Chiesa, Moise Keane, a whole bunch of Jorginho's Italy teammates. Also Juan Cuadrado. Sam, Romelu Lukaku, as you mentioned, not particularly involved against Manchester City on Saturday. Obviously, he's going to start here. He has scored at this ground before, and he told Chelsea TV that he nearly joined Juventus before he went to Inter Milan. Do you think he's going to be paired with somebody in this game? And is it a benefit that it's an opponent that he knows maybe better than the rest of his teammates?
Definitely. I think he seems the type, doesn't he, to probably study opponents, know the weaknesses of the centre-halves that he's coming up against. And it's got to be favourable that he played against, you know, Juve so recently. And we'll know the tendencies of the defenders he's coming up against, as good as they are. So, yeah, I definitely see that as a positive, that he's obviously come from Serie A. But I would expect him to be supported by two players. Hopefully Mason Mount makes it. And given that Havertz has had a bit of a rest and has impacted the game in a positive manner at the weekend, I see those two being the preferred options to support him. But I'd like to see Pulisic back as an option, just because I thought that his ability to drive with the ball, his running power would have been an asset for Chelsea in that Manchester City game. So yeah, need him back in the mix as well, because I think his characteristics would add something to the team right now in departments that they're lacking.
Yeah, and actually he tended to save his best performances last season for the Champions League, Christian Pulisic, particularly think back to the two games against Real Madrid. What's a good result for Chelsea here then, Sam? A draw away from home in the toughest game in the group wouldn't be the end of the world, would it?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, this is a Juventus side. I wouldn't say hugely in transition, but obviously lost Ronaldo. They seem to have big problems in midfield. It doesn't sound like De Ligt has started this campaign brilliantly, so it's probably a pretty good time to play them. That said, but you know, Champions League game against the top European side, it's always going to be difficult away from home. But I think when you consider the problems they've got and the injury issues, I think Chelsea would be confident in getting maximum points. But of course, with, you know, the Malmo fixtures to come and Zenit return, a point would be absolutely fine. But I think they'll go there in confident mood. And Juventus, they need to perform, because at the moment there's a lot of question marks about them, I suppose, whether they're going to be able to emulate what they've done recently in Serie A. And Champions League, we know, is going to be really tough for them this year. So it's a fixture that I expect Chelsea probably to get maximum points in.
By the way, Dominic Fifield's not with us today because he is winging his way to Italy as we speak. So he'll send us an in-person report from the Juventus Stadium after Wednesday's game.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Fleming, spent. Could she be in for her 50th Chelsea goal? Good save, Mary Earps. Comes to Fleming. It's six.
I thought we were clinical. We created good chances. I thought showed the depth we got throughout our squad. But brilliant finishing. Wanted a clean sheet. I think it was a poor goal to concede. But overall, you know, a very good performance from the team.
Elsewhere in Chelsea news, what a sensational result for the women's team on Sunday. Playing catch-up after that opening day defeat at Arsenal, Emma Hayes' side have since earned back-to-back wins, following up the 4-0 thrashing of Everton with a 6-1 demolition of Man United in the Northwest on Sunday. It means Chelsea are fourth in the early stages, with Manchester City way off the pace in eighth after they were thrashed by Arsenal, who topped the table. In terms of the Chelsea game, Sam, Frank Kirby opened the scoring, a 50th WSL goal. It gives us the chance to lavish yet more praise on Chelsea's women's all-time leading scorer, but also she's the key assist provider at the moment as well. Her and Kurt picking up where they left off last season.
Yeah, just outstanding. I think my first year out of football was able to see her a couple of times in close quarters. 7 or 8 years ago, I remember her scoring maybe the maiden goal in the Champions League for Chelsea. Catalogue of brilliant goals that she scored subsequently. Who could forget that goal at Bayern Munich in the Champions League a couple of years ago? It was one against Sunderland maybe to clinch the title. That springs to mind. So good cutting in on either foot and finishing from distance. So she just goes from strength to strength, but it really is such an exciting trio they've got now. I mean, Harder's goal, I thought yesterday, encapsulated everything that's good about her. She's not electric, but she travels so beautifully with the ball and gets away with people. And it was a lovely dinked finish. I was praying that there was a dink going to be on the end of it, because it's wasted, that run, unless you finish with that aplomb. So it looked like a brilliant victory against a side that are definitely evolving, but shows you, again, it takes time to build, doesn't it, in a WSL. It's not going to happen overnight for Manchester United. They're not going to, you know, shorten that 10-point gap overnight in one pre-season. But interesting to note, they had more of the ball than Chelsea. I think that probably doesn't happen too regularly in WSL, probably just in the Manchester City game. So it's a Manchester United side that are trying to play out. And obviously they were architects of their own downfall a few times yesterday. So not too unexpected, the result, but the manner of it, I'm sure, will really please Emma Hayes, just kind of cementing their superiority still in the league. And it looks, you know, to me that it's going to be a shootout between Chelsea and Arsenal when you consider how well they started the season.
Yeah, and one thing that might be critical, and we've spoken about this before, is squad depth, as well as Pernille Harder, Sam Kerr got two. We mentioned Kirby, Jesse Fleming and Drew Spence both came off the bench to score as well on Sunday, so that might tip things in Chelsea's favour. Meanwhile, the men's under-23 side got their first win of the season in stunning style. Andy Meyer's team came from 3-1 down to beat Liverpool 4-3 under the Friday night lights at King's Meadow. Lewis Hall got the winning goal in the fifth minute of stoppage time. Lewis Baker started the match. And Sam, so did Charlie Musonda, his first appearance in more than 2 years after a series of injury problems. We saw him play for the first team, didn't we, a few years ago, but he's had to write off the last couple of years, as I said, with the injury problems that he's had. Whether he can get back to the kind of precocious talent that he was remains to be seen, but that's got to be such a massive boost for him mentally just to be able to be back out on a pitch again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you think back over the last decade, I suppose, and, you know, he was very highly rated up against, you know, some of the players that have gone on and achieved wonderful things elsewhere. But also when you think of Mason Mount and Loftus-Cheek, people like that have made the transition into Chelsea's first team, he was right up there. You know, and so, you know, when speaking to people about it around the academy, someone that I think was training with the first team at a very young age, around the first team squad, and is just plateaued for him, and he's just lost his way, probably because of some not particularly great loan spells, but more so the injuries, Matt, that you spoke of. So brilliant to see him playing again. If he can, I suppose, string a number of games together, it may be a case of him going out in January and getting some regular games at a better level.
Yeah, scored on his full debut for Chelsea against Forest. That was 4 years ago. He's had loans at Betis, Celtic and Vitesse that didn't really amount to much. So we'll keep an eye on how he does as the season progresses. Elsewhere, not such good news for the under-18s. They went down 1-0 at Leicester in the under-18 PL South. That's the first defeat of the season for Ed Brand's boys. Before we go, some Chelsea stuff up on The Athletic to point you in the direction of. Adam Crafton has written about how the Blues and Tuchel will respond to Saturday's defeat, whilst Michael Cox has gone big on the tactical aspect of the game. TheAthletic.com/ChelseaPod is the place to go if you aren't currently a subscriber. That's it for today, though. Well done, Sam. You've already justified the extortionate transfer fee we paid for you over the summer.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back on Thursday. We'll look back on the game against Juventus and ahead to the next Premier League matches at Stamford Bridge on Saturday against Southampton. Until then, from all of us here, though, it's bye for now.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.